And so we must leave our land, forget all our hopes and plans, and sail far away across the sea. We pray to keep our self-respect as tears fall upon the salty deck. We watch our beloved land fade away. I'll sing to you my seed is scattered far. In time, we remember who we are and sing our people's songs of yesterday. And now, as I take your hand, we walk upon the golden sand. Of a long lost home far away.
Farewell to Nazarene had come to live the life of every man, and he felt the fascination of the stars. And as he wandered through this weary world, he wondered and he wept, for there were so few who listened to his call. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me. Could hunger, and the Nazarene could cry, and he could laugh with all the fullness of his heart. And those who hardly knew him, and those who knew him well, could feel the contradiction from the start. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. And the fact of his humanity was there for all to see, for he was unlike any other man, and yet so much like me.
Just to say your name, your name. Yeshua. In your presence is where I want to remain. In your presence is where I want to remain. In your presence is where I want to remain.
Your eyes look right through to my heart. I could see it when we met. I could feel it from the start. And it's something I just can't explain. But it makes me wanna jump back into the fire again.
Standing too close. from forth to Caithness, Shetland and into the west for many a year. Naked in battle they go, in wind and in rain and in snow, they knew no fear. Their place in the sun, their pain and their fun, second to none, the painted men. Tattooed embrace, the storybook face of the painted man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 14th day of August, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is A Man's Reputation. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prynhanda Cymru Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We have a little adage that we want to remind you of that came across my inbox here recently, and I had not heard it for some time, but the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. You know, we often talk about the fact that if you're in His purposes for this world, this journey through this world, you should have no fear. We do want to make a note that on our website, PastorDan.net, we have the Daily Mail page for news items, and news items could be anything from politics to health issues to research materials, prepper or information, and even information about weapons, ammunition, and self-defense. The home page is where you would find information for how to help us out with a donation, and the Contact Us page is where you can reach me if you do not have my personal contact information. I'm going to revamp my By Yahweh's Design notification list. I have not been sending it out lately, but I'm going to go through several of my lists. So if you receive an email from me, please take a look at it, because what I want to do is scrub all of my lists and then rebuild it with those who contact me saying that they do want to receive the mail, because I don't want to waste your time and I do not want to waste my time, because people are being flooded with information today. And that's partially being done on purpose, of course, to inundate us with so much information that people just give up. And I hear that from a lot of people, and I have to admit that I myself have been going through it, especially here of late, feeling somewhat swamped, almost drowning in negativity and too much information. We have to rise above that. That's sort of why I picked this reputation of a man, because we men are the leaders, whether we like it or not. We have to be the leaders in this world of our families, which includes our wives and children. It also means leaders in our communities, in the nations, the white nations of our brethren, and to the peoples of this world. And a lot of people are speaking on this subject of late, which I find quite interesting, that the world's people are starting to wake up to the fact that they have been enslaved by this same diabolical system, this beast system, that we struggle today against. So the awakening is going on in full force. Now, the awakening will not cover everybody. You're going to see a lot of these zombies are not going to be with us much longer. And I'm losing my empathy for them, the people that are still zombified, wearing face diapers when it's so obvious it does nothing whatsoever except make your health to be diminished. The same thing for vaccines and jabs. The frontline doctors and many reputable doctors and nurses and medical professionals have made it very clear that we are being swamped with misinformation, lies, and deception. So we're going to talk about discernment too, and people without discernment are the ones who will suffer. The people with no backbone and no will to survive will suffer. The bad trees that cannot produce good fruit will suffer. Thank you, Ella. Ella's letting me know the sound is coming through okay. So again, you know, it's time to stand up and be a banner, to be a focal point for our people. There's a scripture that talks about that. Who will raise a standard for our people in the latter days? And you have to remember, back when this was written, men fought wars face to face. They didn't use drones and bombs from planes at 50,000 feet, etc. They fought toe to toe, face to face. And it was through the use of standards, which are banners or flags, sometimes pennants. Okay, standards and trumpet blasts was how commanders communicated to their troops and to their men. All right, so when the scripture says to raise a standard, it's saying raise something our people can see and rally behind. Our Heavenly Father is representative of a standard, but you and I, as His sons and daughters, when we behave accordingly, we become standards as well. And the problem in this world today is there are no standards. There are no moral, righteous standards. All the standards that the television and the media present to the people, these people are actually miscreants. They are immoral. And sometimes, in fact many times, downright evil. And so the people are desperate for standards. We see it in the fact that our children are misbehaving at an unprecedented rate. Okay? Politicians misbehave. Leaders misbehave. Now the medical profession. I talked to our brother Henry, and some of the horrific experiences he has had with the medical profession. I talked to a neighbor, who has severe back pain, and she went to a clinic here in South Florida, and everything was in Spanish, and everybody there spoke in Spanish. There was no English being spoken anywhere. So our countries are being taken over. England, you've got foreigners now as the mayor of London and running as prime ministers, and the head of the exchequer, which is the treasury, okay? Why are aliens in these powerful positions? And then we wonder why nothing gets better. Because that's a violation of our law, our common law, and the biblical law. It's also a violation of common sense. You cannot allow the alien to come in and take over power and to have rights of governorship. It's ludicrous. It never works, ever. That is a tactic of your enemy when they promote such things. The equality of men and women. No, you're only equal before the law. You're not equal in sports events. You're not equal in leadership ability. You're not equal in running a household. A household requires both a man and a woman. They have successfully divided the households. It takes two, not a village. It takes two, a man and a woman. A husband who knows his position as head of the family and acts accordingly. It takes a woman supporting her man, or women supporting their men, and then the children obeying both husband and wives. That's the hierarchy. That's what produces the best results. And today we've thrown it all away, chasing after Jewish fables, or as the scripture calls it, doctrines of devils. Doctrines of adversaries. Your adversary who wears shoe leather, who has two arms and two legs, and unfortunately, because our people lack discernment, they assume them to be human like the rest of us, to be creations of the Father in the sense that they have empathy and compassion, when they do not. Does anybody in his right mind think Bill Gates has compassion and empathy for mankind? Or a George Soros, or the Rothschilds, or the Rockefellers, or the Pelosis, or the Schumers? The list goes on and on and on. And all of these creatures have one thing in common. They come from that tribe that Christ condemned 2,000 years ago, which caused that tribe to orchestrate his murder, as far as we know. As far as we know. We do know for a fact there is enmity between the true believers of our Heavenly Father Yahweh and this tribe of miscreants. Today they call themselves Jews, who are at the head of all of the organizations that are causing the mischief in this world. It's a fact. All you got to do is take your blinders off and take a look around. It's not a mystery. It's not something that requires a PhD or rocket science. It's obvious. You just have to take the blinders off. And okay, admittedly, you're going to have to grow some stones in that sack and stiffen up your backbone a bit, because it's going to take some intestinal fortitude to admit it and to tell others about it and to resist it, which, by the way, is starting to happen. Oh, I just got a note from our brother here listening, and he said the clinic I went to was all Asian Indians. Now, that's interesting. I have noticed quite a few Indians taking over many things. For years now, they've taken over the convenience stores and many of the gas stations. And I learned about this clear back in the 1990s when I went into a convenience store in the state of New Jersey on the way to work. And I noticed a government car sitting out in front of this convenience store, and it was a black woman. And she was inside talking to the Indian owner of the convenience store, and I overheard their conversation, and it was telling, she was telling him about the low interest loans that are available to non-whites who wish to take over businesses in America. So now you can understand why all the gas stations and motels, hotels, etc., and convenience stores are owned primarily by foreigners, and the vast majority are owned by these Indians. And why do they have great wealth? Because they're part of the problem, folks. You might even think of them as dark-skinned Jews. That doesn't mean that every single one of them is evil, but I'm just telling you that as a group, as a people, they have invaded economically this country, and they are part of the people taking over everything from the white Caucasian founders of our nations. I look upon them as an invader, just as the Jew is an invader. The Chinese are invaders, okay? And again, that does not mean that every single person of that persuasion is, quote, evil and my enemy, but I have to look at the fact that it's not coincidence that many of the things going wrong have foreign names and foreign faces attached to it. And then you go back to our founding fathers in the scripture and you see where it plainly says that those who are racial aliens to you are not to be living amongst you. They're not to marry into your family. They are not to have any sort of power within the governance of your people. It's common sense. And yet white people have been put upon by the powers to be, or should not be. They've been put upon to feel guilty for being white, and it somehow is Christian to allow the alien to run roughshod over you and your family and your nation. When, if you properly read the scripture and properly interpret it, that is a lie, both in the old and the new parchments. I do want to remind you, Messiah never quoted a New Testament writer, not one time. There is not one time that Yeshua quoted a New Testament writer. But he quoted the prophets frequently. Just going to remind you of that. I'm also going to remind you that one of the most corrupt and evil organizations on the face of this earth are the ones that came together and decided what's in that book you got on your shelf there called the Bible. Which writings were allowed to be in it and which ones were not. And coincidentally, they are also the people that gave you the translations. Just word to the wise there. You better be looking to your gut, that second brain right there in your abdomen. What is your gut telling you about what you're seeing going on today? Do you think you have all the truth? Do you think you've been lied to maybe just a little bit? We're going to read down through some scriptures. Again, these were scriptures that I could find quickly about a man's reputation, because our men have been put upon in this day and age so strongly, it's unbelievable. Most of my adult life was dealing with feminism, because it started when I was a young man, and the infusion of women into the workplace started in the 1970s while I was in the Air Force. Maybe that's the reason the father had me see all this, so that when the day came and I was on the radio, I could speak from personal experience. Just something I was thinking about one day. Because it was interesting that right in the middle of my Air Force career is when the Air Force decided to take the higher echelon jobs, which I was in one of the top two in the Air Force, meaning that it took the highest test scores to get into these two career fields as an enlisted man. And it was a fact that these top two career fields were almost exclusively white men at that time. They're the only ones who could pass the tests. So the Air Force came along with this idea that, well, it's too white and it's too male. So did they make the women and the minorities study harder so that they could come up to the same test levels that we men that were already in the career field? Did they make them come up to those levels? No. In the brilliance of our military, which has become dumber year by year, and today I don't even want to identify with what calls itself military today, not the leadership anyway. So did they make them? No, they didn't. What did they do? They lowered the test scores. Does that sound familiar, folks? In your workplaces and in your institutions? Do they make these other people rise to the level? No, they lower the standards. Another reason why we're talking today about standards. They lowered the standards. So in my career field, which had a very high morale, there was a lot of esprit de corps. We got a lot of good work done under very strenuous circumstances, because in the mid-70s, the Vietnam War was still going on, and so we were working 12 to 14 hours a day, 7 days a week back then, and it was nonstop. It was not coming in and having cookies, playing on a cell phone, or playing computer games, because, number one, they did not exist. And number two, there were broken airplanes that needed to be fixed constantly. So when we lowered the test scores, sure enough, all of a sudden now we have the minorities and the women coming into our career field, and eventually they showed up at the Air Force base where I worked. So in the shop, which I was the shop chief, which means I was responsible for getting all the work done on the equipment. So as the shop chief, I was in a very unique position to see who was performing and who was not, because I had to keep track of which pieces of gear were being worked on by which person, how long they had had it, those sorts of things. And so I saw up close and personal the lowering of standards, the lowering of the work, and the quality of the work as we made our shop diverse to fit with the new paradigm being created by our enemy. I didn't know that at the time, but looking back past the years, it's obvious that's what was happening. And it was one of the biggest reasons that I left the military, even though they asked me to reenlist. I said, no, thank you. I don't want to be part of this organization. You're two-faced. You want high standards. You want work done. You want the airplanes to be equipped with the best of equipment, and yet you cut the workforce in half that can do that in order to appease the Pentagon and the colonel and the lieutenant generals that are in charge of our squadrons. To appease them and look good, you're going to cut our wrists and have us try to get all the work done with less and less qualified people. I got out of the Air Force only to go into the power industry, electrical power industry. I started out in the coal-fired plants and ended up in the nuclear plants. And I saw the exact same thing happen around 1980. So about 5 years after. They tried it in the military first and used that as a stereotype or a template for inculcating the maintenance departments in the public arena. And in the power plants, I saw the exact same thing happen over again. So again, we have no standards. We need to establish standards for our people, for ourselves as individuals, but also for our people. We'll start in James chapter 3, verse starting at verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. In other words, good men produce good fruit, and evil or wicked trees produce bad fruit. You're known by your fruits. That's why Yeshua told us, don't worry about DNA tests. Don't worry about credentials. Don't worry about people's public reputations that are built by these nefarious organizations out there. Judge them by their fruits. This is what that verse in James chapter 3 is trying to tell you. The fruits will tell you what the heart of the man is. Proverbs 22. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. A good name. You see, we don't even give consideration to somebody's name. I'm glad that my mother and father gave me the names they gave me. They went to the scriptures to pull out my names. And they had me consecrated to the Father as a baby at the local church. And I thanked them profusely when I got to be in my 30s for taking the time to do that, because I was becoming aware of how important that is. And today we give it no thought whatsoever. So a good name. Good name, having what? A good reputation because of your standards. That's to be chosen rather than riches and favor, meaning favor of what? Favor of our Father, but favor of your neighbors, favor of your kinsmen. Those both are worth more than silver or gold. We go to Psalm 27, starting at 1. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of Yahweh God, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. For he will guide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Again, that is Psalm 27. You should read it. I have noticed through these past 2.5 years one thing that has stood out for many years in preaching the identity message. The people that take this message to heart, I'm talking sincerely take it to heart, who make a sincere effort to live according to the laws of the Most High, regardless of the laws of men, who seek to teach it to others, to live it, to breathe it, to think upon it, especially on their beds. First thing in the morning, they dwell upon the Father and His law, and then last thing at night, when their head hits the pillow, our Father, His will, are what's on your mind. Those people this verse applies to, I have noticed that even though we're in a tempest, a storm, there are many times the Father reaches down and protects you. I'll give an example. When this whole COVID facade, this fake and phony pandemic, there never was a pandemic, folks. If you don't know that by now, please tune into another channel and leave us alone. Join the zombies out there and walk off the edge of the earth or whatever. Just leave us alone. I mean, if you can't figure that out. So back when this all started, I was in Virginia helping my brother get his home in order and ready for sale. And when this all started, I said to my brother and his wife, I said, this is a lie. You know, Fauci is a fake and a fraud. So is Burks and all the rest of them. And your precious Trump is not denouncing any of this. So I said, I'm not going to go along with this. So we went about trying to do business and whatnot. So most of the time I did not leave the home. I stayed there and worked. They went out to the stores and whatever. But the few times I went outside, and in Virginia at that time, they wanted you to wear a diaper just going out into your yard. Amazing, isn't it? In your yard to do yard work, they wanted to see you in a face diaper. Well, I refused to do that. Of course, that got some people upset, but I noticed there were a few other neighbors that wouldn't do it. And eventually they left me alone. And so I spent the next month and a half doing whatever I wanted to do, inside or outside, and I didn't bother to put a diaper on. And then it came time to leave and come back down to Florida. So that was a long journey, and again, this was in the beginning when everybody was hysterical, when everybody thought that there was truly a pandemic, and yet people, we noticed on the trip, and it's a long trip, we would see a lot of people in their cars, they weren't wearing masks, but there wasn't much traffic because everybody was afraid and staying home, so I was actually kind of thankful for that. Those of us that had the courage to say, screw you, media and liars, we're going to go about our lives. It was like the Father gave us a better road because there was hardly anybody on it. Nobody ever stopped us. Nobody ever denied us service. We just simply said, well, look, we don't have to wear a mask. There is no problem. So what's your deal here? Then we got all the way down to Florida and we were told that there was a blockade going across the border between Georgia and Florida, that there was a big blockade and you were going to have to be tested, and the rumors were amazing. And so we're traveling south and we've got a U-Haul trailer behind us and we got all kinds of goods in the car, and we were kind of wondering what are we going to run into when we hit the border. And so sure enough, we look up ahead and there's police cars everywhere on the turnpike. And sure enough, there's a blockade, and they're having the cars go off to the right side of the road. But we noticed that there was a lane going off to the left, and a big sign, all of the commercial truckers could go straight through. They didn't even have to slow down. This was a straight through for all of the truckers. Even the smaller trucks, like the box trucks, okay? Anybody commercial, does that give you any kind of hint what's going on here? And has been going on for 2.5 years? So the Walmart trucks and the Kmart trucks and the Piggly Wiggly and Winn-Dixie, all of the big box stores, the big, quote, corporate trucks could go right through. I'd looked at my brother and said, isn't it amazing that this pretend virus is so smart, it knows only to attack four-wheel cars and smaller vehicles that are non-commercial. It is so intelligent, it will only attack those people, but it'll leave the commercial truck guys alone. I mean, the stupidity from day one of this thing is beyond belief. So we go down the right-hand side because that's where everybody has to go. And sure enough, there's five or six, seven, eight lanes. And you come up to this little tent, little Walmart-type pop-up tent. And there's three lawn chairs in the row we were in. And there's three black people sitting there, two men and a woman. And they were dressed like they had just come from I don't know where, but they certainly didn't dress up at all. And they were just kind of laughing and giggling and everything, and they didn't have any diapers on their face. And we come pulling up, and we never stop. We just rolled the window down, and the black lady, where are you coming from? And we told her, and she said, okay, have a nice day. And we pulled out. That was it. But on the media, both the internet and mainstream media, all they showed you pictures of was these, it looked like 50 to 100 police cars with their lights on and all this hoopla and these police guys all standing around as if this was going to be a real dramatic event and you were going to be forced through and have that swab shoved up your nose and all this other stuff. And yet, when we got down to it, we just cruised right on through as if they weren't even there. Some months later, I went back and the whole place was gone. There wasn't a sign of it ever being there months later. Again, everything was public relations, propaganda, fear-mongering. My point was being that those that had enough courage to get out and just ignore the media, ignore the, quote, lying authorities, they were able to go down the road pretty much in peace and accomplish whatever they had to do. I've noticed over the last 2.5 years the same thing happening over and over and over again. When I personally challenged the managers at the Walmart store and at the BJ's warehouse, I had them call their legal departments, and within 5 minutes, it was no more than 5 minutes in both cases, they backed off and wished me a good day and left me alone. That's all it took, was just simply telling them, you don't have the right to force me to do that, and I can sue you under the Americans with Disabilities Act. I can sue your business. I can sue you personally. That's all it took, folks. I didn't have to get a weapon out. I didn't have to threaten much of anything. Just simply stand your ground. I was amazed at how many people could not do that. I was amazed how many friends and family could not do that. People that I thought had my back. The reason I'm bringing these up, because these are personal experiences that testify to the truth of Scripture. And I want people to understand that this is a test. This whole journey we're on through this world, under the firmament, by the way, is a test. And that's the other thing I'm really, really happy to see, is how many people are now talking openly about that very thing. Even though I know it triggers a few people, I'm sorry about that, but it is coming out and it will come out. 1 Peter chapter 1, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. What is coming to know Father Yahweh all about? Coming to know Yahshua. It's about repentance, remember? Rethink. A cleansing of all of the evil and wickedness in this world from your psyche and you taking on a new body. That's the whole idea behind baptism. It is a witness to the world around you that you have died, going under the water, which is symbolic of going under the earth, you have died to the old world and you are arising a new creature, cleansed by the water of your wrong thinking. And that you come up out of that water a person who now sees clearly, sees with Yahweh's eyes, sees with a purer heart and pure intention. The rest of the world won't understand this at all. They think you can take a baby down and sprinkle a few drops of water in your head and they're baptized. I got news for you. No, you're not. The word baptismo in the Greek means to submerge. When you wash your dishes, do you sprinkle a few drops of water on them and then put them up in the cupboard as clean dishes? Of course you do not. You submerge them under the water, which is what baptismo means, to submerge in the act of cleansing, washing. You see, we get everything wrong today, don't we? So first of all, a baby doesn't even know it's a sinner, and how can it make a conscious effort to repent, rethink, when it's a child who does not even speak yet? It's ludicrous. You have to be of the age of accountability to be baptized. You have to be of the age to be able to identify who you are in the eyes of the Almighty and make a conscious decision to live for Him. You can't do that as a child. In the church that I grew up, you could not join the church, which was the Methodist church, until you were at least 12 years old. So they at least had the principle right that you can't make the conscious decision to be a follower of the way until you're at least 12. But yet they gave baby baptisms. So you see what I say? It's ludicrous how many dichotomies there are with truth and fact. So they got part of it right with church membership, but they totally got it wrong with baptism. Totally wrong. The whole church world is full of these anomalies. The organized church world, the mainstream church world is full of them. Matthew chapter 7, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Very simple principle, right? And fruit here obviously is talking about your actions, the fruit of your activities, right? So, and trees always represent people. So it's saying people that do good deeds, have good actions, are good trees, because you can't mix the two. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. Very simple test. Don't need to go to a Jewish-run DNA clinic. I don't need any PhDs or psychiatrists to figure out if you're a good or bad tree. I just got to look at your fruit. What is the fruit of your words, your actions, your deeds? James chapter 4, draw near to Yahweh God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. How many people, you know, we have another term for being double-minded. It's called being two-faced. Double-minded, being a hypocrite. Double-minded. One minute you're saying how evil the system is, and yet the next minute you're in acquiescing to what they want so you can get on an airplane or go on a trip or go on a cruise or go shopping at your favorite store, when what you should be doing is avoiding both of them. What did he tell us? Come out of Babylon. Come out of Babylon. He didn't say acquiesce and go along with it. If same thing that I've done for 2.5 years. If that store pushes it and doesn't acquiesce to me, then there's nothing in that store that I want. I don't care what it is. If my bicycle has a flat tire and I can't get a new one, then I walk. If the parts I need for the car aren't there, I'll ride the bicycle. But you don't give in. Giving in is what's kept this thing alive for this long. You destroy evil by resistance. Resistance. Romans chapter 5. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Character. Endurance. It's like I've said for identity audiences for years and years. If this was easy, anybody could do it. There would be no test. If it was easy, the very fact that it's not easy is the test. The very fact that it is not easy shows your mettle, your character. And again, I praise Yahweh that in my childhood, my father did not let me be bashful, because I was bashful as a boy. I didn't go out for many things on my own. My father pushed me to join Little League Baseball, and then after that, Teener League Baseball, and after that, High School Baseball, and then after that, Summer League Baseball. So I played baseball during the warm months my whole childhood, and I played football in the fall from 7th grade to a year of college. Now, after he got me started and I realized I could do it, he didn't have to push so hard. But in the beginning, he pushed. And I went out for these things. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Romans 5 is talking about endurance. And one of the things that I learned as a child was that it wasn't fun doing all those calisthenics. It wasn't fun running all those laps and all the sprints that we had to do and all the tackling drills. But one thing I learned is if you endure the not-so-fun stuff, the hard work of exercise and learning the proper techniques to tackle and to block, if you put the hard work in, when it came time for the day of the game, it was a whole lot more fun. It didn't seem like so much work on the playing field because you were in good shape. And because your teammates were in good shape, we had a very strong winning season. In fact, in my senior year of high school, we were undefeated. Because we as a group took on the challenge of endurance and going through the rough times so that on game day we were ready. Do you see the analogy I'm trying to paint here? These are the calisthenics, the rough times preparing you for what's coming. If you can endure and overcome, you will see what the Father has in store for all of us on the other side, which is beautiful to behold. 1 Peter chapter 2, keep your conduct among the Gentiles. In this case, it means non-Israelite peoples. Keep your conduct amongst the non-Israelites honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify Yahweh God on the day of visitation. You see, in this completely screwed up world that we're living in right now, and it is topsy-turvy, upside down, good being called evil, evil being called good, I've noticed that even amongst my neighbors and the people that I do have some contact with, these people are taking note of the ones with the endurance and the ones who have stuck by their convictions. The day is coming when that's going to be important. It's not totally important today. Not quite. It is in little instances here and there. But the day is coming when it will be crucial. When the people rise up, and it is starting to happen. The people of the world I'm talking about now, not just our Anglo-Saxon Caucasian brothers and sisters, all the people are beginning to realize that there is a great evil going on. They're going to recall whether you were one of those who endured, one of those who stood by the truth, no matter how much pressure was put upon you. Even in my own family, I have cousins and second cousins calling me thanking me that for 20, 30, 40 years, I've never backed down on what I saw coming, ever. And yes, I was called names. I was made fun of. I was even shunned by some of these people. But what they're doing now is contacting me to apologize for their ignorance, for the fact that they did not listen, or as my one cousin said, it turns out, Dan, that you were the wise one amongst our kin. Now, it doesn't make me feel good to know that I've lost cousins and close friends because of these jabs and different things that have happened. No, it doesn't make me feel good that I was right. But there is a consolation of sorts in the fact that now the rest of them are starting to take note of who in the family, who in the community, during all of this upheaval, who were the rocks out there? Who were the anchors that kept some sanity going? That's going to prove very important in the days coming up. Ephesians chapter 4. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. In other words, again, you have been raised up as new creatures in Yahshua. John 8:44, speaking of these enemies in shoe leather here, particularly those with the little hats, you are of your father the devil, which means adversary. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Again, these creatures who, when you do the digging down the rabbit holes, you find out that all the nefarious things going on are being done primarily by this tribe, this organization of creatures in shoe leather. And one of the telltale signs of who they are is the fact that they are doing the will of their father, the great adversary. Whether it's literal or figurative, it does not matter. Not really. To them, it's literal. They worship idols. They worship the devil, whatever form you think that takes. Or if it's figurative, like to us, adversaries come in many shapes and sizes, do they not? Does it matter to me whether these people in little hats go into a temple and actually sacrifice to an idol or whether it's a figurative thing? It doesn't matter to me. They are my adversary. I am to treat my adversaries the same way, regardless of what they practice. They are evil. They are adversaries to us as a people. They are adversaries to the King of Kings, Yahweh El Shaddai. And the book is very clear what we do with our adversaries. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. It's a very similar verse to the one that says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Or a little yeast will penetrate and affect the whole lump of dough. Now, having watched my mother make homemade bread, I know exactly how that works. She had a very large pot, and she would have her flour and milk and whatever other ingredients put in there, and she added yeast cake to it. And it usually was a very small amount. And then she would cover it and set it in the utility room where it was warm and allow it to rise. So that little bit of yeast would go in there and penetrate in a very short period of time the entire lump of dough to where it raised up. And sometimes it even started coming out over the top of the pot. Now she had her dough for making bread. Very symbolic of what's going on. These wicked, evil creatures that walk amongst us, though they are few in number, they permeate through our society with their evil and wicked deeds, to where they have leaveneth the whole lump. Our whole world now is upside down in their mischievous activities and their lies and deceptions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Again, referring to your rebirth into a new creature who has thrown off the lies and deceptions and wickedness of this world and has taken on a new life as a true follower of Yahshua, the way. Ecclesiastes 7, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of birth. Now, we've talked about that. In some societies, they cry at the announcement of a baby being born because you've left the other realm and come into this sick, demented world, and they celebrate on the day of death. That is some cultures. And this verse in Ecclesiastes is talking about that. The day of death is to be better than the day of birth, because we leave this world. The pain, the suffering, the ailments, the illnesses, the bad relationships, the liars, the deceivers. And we go on to be with those who pass the test, which means that on the other side, you don't deal with these kind of people. Whatever form we take over there, that is not allowed, as Yahweh Father says. Nothing that offends me will come into my kingdom. Can you imagine that? Every day of your life, every moment of your life is amongst fellow believers, fellow followers of the way, who have good character, who have integrity and honesty and forthrightness and want to make this a better world, instead of the creatures that we deal with on a day-to-day basis down here now. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see that a overseer, which means an officer in the, quote, assembly of saints, therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of at least one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for Yahweh's assembly of believers? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the adversaries. A recent convert would be a babe. The scripture often talks about a babe. Acts chapter 16, he is well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Again, do you have a good reputation or not? Daniel chapter 4. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal resident, and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. How many times have we talked about that? The things that are going on in this world, you keep saying that Satan controls everything. I hate to tell you this, but it's not Satan, folks. Our Father puts these wicked, evil things upon disobedient children. Most of these zombies out here could easily turn around and decide that they want to be righteous and throw this whole thing off, and the enemy could do nothing about it. Nothing at all. Isaiah 34, draw near, O nations, to hear and give attention, O peoples. Let the earth hear and all that fills it, the world and all that comes from it. For Yahweh is enraged against all the nations and furious against all their hosts. He has devoted them to destruction, has given them over for slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out, and the stench of their corpse shall rise. The mountains shall flow with their blood. All the host of heaven shall rot away, and the skies roll up like a scroll. For their host shall fall, as leaves fall from the vine, like leaves falling from the fig tree. For my sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. Behold, it descends for judgment upon Edom, upon the people I have devoted to destruction. Let's see, what's the Jewish encyclopedia say about Edom Esau? Oh, that's right. Ancient Edom Esau is found in modern-day Jewry. How about that? This goes along with Obadiah, verse 18, and Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 14. When you have time, you should read that. Under the topic of discernment, I've got a few verses we'll share here. Going to 1 John, chapter 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Yahweh God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Boy, if that isn't true. Look at the whole host of these ultra-rich televangelists spewing lies and deception out of their mouths. Unbelievable. One of the worst and most evil that I can think of is that Kenneth Copeland. But you can throw many others in there, the John Hagees, all of these worshipers of Satan's children, because they're getting large sums of money to go along with the ruse. Evil, evil people. Hebrews chapter 5, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. There's a lot of wisdom in this verse here. Again, it's Hebrews 5, verse 14. Solid food, not baby food, not pablum. Okay? A lot of our people are guilty of that. They take, and I was guilty of it until an elder set me straight many years ago. Because of your passion and enthusiasm, you want to run up and just take people by the shoulder. Look what I've learned. Look what I know. I know my identity now. You know the truth of the Bible. You know who Yeshua is, and the Jews are liars, and Christ was not a Jew, and all these wonderful things. And you just start pumping all this information out. Well, you're pumping out a 2-inch thick porterhouse steak to a baby. Babies need to have little tiny bites of food called pablum, baby food, because they cannot digest the meatier things. They have not honed their skills of discernment. And we not only do great harm when we overload the babies, but it wastes not only their time and possibly turns them away from the truth, but it also is a waste of your time, and it creates great exaggeration and consternation for you, because you want everybody to wake up. That's not how it's done. Philippians chapter 1. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge, also truth, and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Messiah. Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is living and active. That word, word, is logos, which also means the plan. The spoken word or plan of Yahweh God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, you're not going to fake the Father, and his truths can cut exactly like a double-edged sword. 1 Kings chapter 3, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? That's what every one of us men of Jacob Israel, the people, should remind ourselves of. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, right here. All right? We should be going to our Father daily, asking for the wisdom and discernment necessary to see through the great lies, and then for the strength and boldness to tell the truth, in spite of the undaunting amount of pressure being put upon truth tellers today. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of Yahweh God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We've talked about that many times. Ask and ye shall receive. But we forget about the asking part. Ask and you will receive. It's not a thing that you can take for granted. It's not something, well, I'm a creature of God and it just, he's supposed to just do that for me. No, you've got to ask. Or as in the one analogy of Yahshua at the door knocking in Scripture. He's at the door knocking. He's at the door of your mind, the door of your heart. He's knocking, but you have to open the door. He does not bust the door down. He's not going to bust the door down. He wants you to invite him in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural person, meaning the zombies out here, does not accept the things of the Spirit of Yahweh God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You want to know why so many people go down and get the jab? So many people can't see through the BS that's being dished out to us on a daily basis? It's because it takes spiritual discernment, and they do not have it. John chapter 7, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right or righteous judgment. In other words, by their fruits ye shall know them. I watched a partial video anyway by Chris James up in Canada. He is a warrior calls out. And the Canadians are organizing for September 11th to have a massive call out. And they are on a terror to awaken the Royal Canadian Mounted Police up there and their American counterparts to awaken our sheriffs and local police forces. to the lies and deceptions and how they have been lied to and put in the gap between the wicked and evil at the top and you and I here down below. They want them to sacrifice their lives as the enemy pushes these draconian measures upon us. And they're starting to wake up. They're starting to understand how this deception has come about. Also, Brother Mike in Miami is having some success with trying to get, he calls it organizing, but it's actually just a form of education and communication. It's not a organizing in the sense of bringing a military unit together. That is not what he's trying to do. He's simply trying to get points of contact in every county across America so that we just start having conversations between ourselves, sharing the things that we know, sharing what works and what doesn't work, understanding that at some point in time, this may go violent and we have to call upon each other for defense because the system will not defend you. Satan is not going to come to your rescue. Satan put this whole monstrous thing together. Do you think he's going to assist you in overcoming it? Nope, that is not going to happen. So the only people you can count on are the ones that you've known for a very long time, and we should be developing those networks amongst ourselves. We've often talked about the fact that, you know, it says in the book that in the latter days it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And during Noah's time, of course, it was a very small group of people who were righteous, who obeyed the Spirit of the Father, and they were building their ark in spite of the derision that was sent to them and the condemnation by the townspeople around them and the people in the countryside. They made fun of them. They ridiculed them, etc. But Noah and his family stayed true to the Father and trusted what they were being told. So it is today. We look around us, we're building our ark. This time our ark is the network of like-minded people, at this point in time anyway, who are reaching out to each other. We edify each other with encouragement, with words of wisdom, with experiences, what's working, what's not working, how do we get back to a permaculture, how do we get back to family farms, because you cannot trust the big box stores anymore, folks. And as Henry and other people have found out, you cannot trust the institutions that as children we were told to trust, the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, the ministers, the preachers, the pastors, the church organizations, the charities, the foundations, the corporations, and the government. All of these things that we were told we could trust, and we now know that you cannot trust them. And let's never forget the pharmaceutical companies. They are the least trustworthy of all of them, probably. Okay? And you cannot trust the alien that walks amongst you preaching the doctrines of devils. We have to return to our Father, return to the source, and tune out these liars. No matter how much they offer you in money and prestige and gifts and praise to bribe you and cajole you. You have to tune them out. Again, this is a test. Great and wonderful things await the overcomers, both in this world and the one to come. But right now, we're in the storm. We are in the middle of a tremendous storm. And you've got to reach out and hang on to that boat anchor, to that rock, to that lighthouse. Keep your eyes focused on the truth, our Heavenly Father, and His will upon this earth, His truths that are never changing. Just as He is never changing, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those are the things you can count on. And look to the people who will not acquiesce, who will not bend to the lies and deceptions. And for those who have been injured, we pray for them. I don't know for a fact whether there is an antidote for the poisons that the people are putting into their bodies, whether through the food, the drink, or these serums. I don't know for a fact, but I do trust in my Heavenly Father, and I do know that He can renew both mind and body if it is His will. So I pray for those who struggle. I pray for those who have repented of going along with the system and have had these alien substances attack their bodies. If they truly repent of that, I pray that Father's merciful and will cleanse them of this impurity, both in their minds and in their bodies, because they're like the prodigal son. All of heaven, the angels, and all of us, his children on earth, rejoice when one of the lost sheep come back to the fold. Hallelujah. And again, I covet your prayers as well, because I'm under attack. Whether it's literal or figurative, it doesn't matter to me. But there are negative and evil forces that have their way some days. I have found that I have my temper is very short compared to years ago. I found my empathy is very small compared to years ago. My endurance has been diminished. It could be a function of age and this long battle. Or it could be that we're on the right path and all of us are going to be attacked by the enemy. Whatever the case, we covet our prayers and good wishes and high vibration energy and positive energies from our brethren, our close friends and family. Because those are the things that help us to combat what this enemy will try to do to us. And with that, I think that's all we're going to cover for today. And for those interested in what's happening with the effort to communicate, build communications amongst the citizen soldiers known as the militia, you can tune in tonight at, I believe it's 7 o'clock. For the conference call. And if you wish to do that, you can go to righteousarmy.org, and that's all together, righteousarmy.org, and the information as far as the time and how you can do that is at that website. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We also praise you, as we always do, for your gifts and blessings that we often forget. In the midst of this storm, we sometimes focus on the storm rather on the good that you do amongst us, whether it's a new member of our family coming to recognize who you are in your law, whether it's those who realize that there is tremendous evil and wickedness loose upon this earth. We give you praise for it all, Father, because this is your world. This is your plan that is coming about, and all of these evil and wicked things come upon us due to disobedience. Help us to understand that simple principle that if we become obedient children, the Father pours out blessings. It's as simple as that. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Help us with our struggles and ailments. Help us to keep our discernment fine-tuned. Help us to also reach out and be a good, solid foundation for those around us that they can hold on to us with your truths in these turbulent times. We pray that the end of this test will be soon, and that you will gather your grain into the granary, and that the goats and the tares will be burned up and destroyed forever. To that end, Father, we again ask for your daily help in our journey. And we always ask for you to protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
I was walking with my brother, and he wondered all that I know. Said what I believe in my soul ain't what I see with my eyes, and there's no turning back this time. I am a patriot, and I love my country,
I'm a patriot. And I was walking with my girlfriend. She looked so fine. I said, oh, babe, what's on your mind? I wanna run like the lions, released from the cages, released from the rages burning in my soul tonight. And I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all I know. I wanna be with my family, someone who understands me, and I've got no place else to go. I am a patriot. Communist, and I ain't no socialist, and I ain't no capitalist, and I ain't no imperialist, and I'm no longer Democrat, and I sure ain't Republican. And I only have one party, and that is freedom. And the river shall open for the righteous, and the river shall open for the righteous. And the river shall open for the righteous someday. And the river shall open for the righteous. And the river shall open for the righteous. And the river shall open for the righteous someday.
Sandpoint, north of Naples, Idaho, eagles gathered there together to guard the truth so you might know. Down the road that followed Deep Creek, at the turn that crossed the bridge, federal marshals had the roadblock to mark the siege of Ruby Ridge. There the armies of the enemy slayed your bride and only son, nearly killed your close companion when the shrapnel pierced his lung. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. On that evening, late one August, you were forced to take your stand. There two strangers, as they trespassed, drew first blood on private land. Governor Andrus, back in Boise, he let the enemy tell him lies. And from his anti-Christ decision, Sam and Vicky lost their lives. Federal agents, U.S. Marshals, and FBI men stormed the hill, all on false, fictitious charges, given orders shoot to kill. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Though the armies of the enemy may surround us in the night, There's a host of heavenly angels hovering near, ready to fight. We stand with you, Randy Weaver. We are proud to call you friend. As we gather here together, to stand beside you till the end. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is.
In the hollow of his hand, I'm safely sheltered, and I'm dreading not the angry winds that blow. For the eye that watches over me, he never ever slumbers, and he guides my footsteps everywhere I go. In the hollow, in the hollow of his hand, I'm not to fear on ocean or on land. For wherever I may roam, he will guide me safely home. He keeps me in the hollow of his hand. In the hollow of his hand, what a peaceful refuge. There the weary and the heavy laden find a sweet, sweet rest. In the secret place that I know, all my troubles are forgotten. As a child when folded to his mother's breast, yes. In the hollow of his hand, in the hollow of his hand, I'm not to fear on ocean or on land. For wherever I may roam, he will guide me safely home. He keeps me in the hollow of his hand. And in the hollow of his hand, I know that I'll remain forever. For no power can pluck me from my Father's hand. Though I fall asleep in him, when I know he'll awaken me just inside of heaven's golden borderland. Yes, he will. In the hollow of his hand, in the hollow of his hand, I'm not to fear on ocean nor on land. For wherever I may roam, he will guide me safely home. He keeps me in the hollow of his hand. He keeps me in the hollow.
Keeps me in the hollow of his hand. bitter lock and dark fjord. Battling till his life he shed, leaving the throne to the sons of Summerland.
Time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning and it gave him pain, and he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do, build me a floating zoo and take some of them
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
Old Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, hey Lord, I got you
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn.
Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorns.
There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees.
Noah cried, close the door, 'cause the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorn. The ark started moving, it drifted with the tides. Then unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn till this very day. You'll see
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never gonna see no unicorn.